All right, welcome to our discussion of understanding Yom Tov. You know, if we think about it, Shabbos, Yom Tov, it kind of sometimes seems the same. You know, you wish people a good Shabbos, a good Yom Tov. You know, you get dressed up, you have fancy meals. You have a little kiddush, a little wine, you have meat. It doesn't seem that different. You know, in theory, Shabbos, Yom Tov is all about meat and wine, and Shabbos, maybe you get away with a vegetarian meal, but, you know, very often we do have meat meals on Yom Tov on Shabbos in order to honor the Shabbos and enjoy the Shabbos, oneg Shabbos. So then it kind of starts looking the same. We need to understand sort of what's the difference. And there are a lot of other questions as well. Let me share this screen with you and we'll get started. So we want to understand what Yom Tov is all about and what's kind of unique about it as well. So what qualifies as Yom Tov? You know, we've got Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur coming up. Matter of fact, there's an expression in Memphis, oh, where are you going to be for Yom Tov? What do people mean? Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Right? I find that in Memphis, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong, I find in Memphis a lot of people refer to Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as Yom Tov, but everybody does. Anybody who sees someone on Rosh Hashanah always says, good Yom Tov, good Yom Tov. But if Yom Tov is about joy, is Rosh Hashanah about joy? Is Yom Kippur about joy? Isn't Yom Kippur more of a Shabbos because you're not allowed to work? What about Chol HaMoed? The intermediate days, we're going to touch on that a little bit. What is Chol HaMoed? We have other classes, we've discussed that. But what indeed is Chol HaMoed? The intermediate days of Pesach and Sukkot. So one of the key features about Yom Tov is the following verse in Exodus, talking about Pesach, but it applies, the rabbis say, to all the holidays. Certainly Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah too. Bayom Rishon Mikra Kodesh. The first day is a holy convocation. That's the first day of Pesach. Seventh day of Pesach is a holy convocation. It means you can't work on those days. You know, you could go to work in the intermediate days somehow, but not, can't do any work. But whatever needs to be done by a soul, here he translates, in order to eat, for the eating of a soul, eating of a person, that alone can be done. So we need to understand, is it sort of like, you're not allowed to do any work. And then there's like a special leniency that, well, if you need to cook, you can cook. You need to carry something because you want to bring a challah over to your friend, you could do that. Or no, when it comes to Yom Tov, there's no prohibitions, anything to do with preparation, there's no prohibition. There are two lines of thought on that in the medieval commentary and the Rishonim. One line says, that any prohibition that's connected to food is really totally permitted. The rabbi said, you know, if you don't need it right now, you shouldn't do it. But really, or certain things you shouldn't do. But the truth is, any sort of cooking, use of fire, shechita, slaughtering an animal, kneading, baking. Anything to do with that, or theoretically any kind of sifting, maybe possibly, maybe only the part of making bread that's after the kneading part of it. But it could be that all the prohibitions that can be used for food, they're not prohibited on Yom Tov. Or no, do we say really everything's prohibited? And the rabbis were given the license to carve out particular ways in which you could do something. You could only prepare. You can't reap the wheat and thresh it and winnow it and all that. You can only do from kneading and on. So one school says, really anything to do with food is permitted. But the rabbi said, you know, whatever you can do before, like reaping, you don't need to reap on Yom Tov. Reap it before Yom Tov. But theoretically, all reaping is permitted. Or no, really all the prohibitions are only limited to that which is related to food. If it's not related to food, it's prohibited. So something to do with food. Now, why would you want to have more food? What about on Shabbos? Your Shabbos need food too. We say, get your act together, prepare it before Shabbos. Apparently, it's part of the joy. There's more focus here on having good food. It's important on Shabbos too. Parat al Shabbat oneg, we have to make Shabbos enjoyable. We talked about that the other week. But there's more of an emphasis here. It's part of the essence of the day to have the best kind of food, fresh food, right? There's nothing like fresh food. You know, the challenge is good, but nice to take something out of the oven, but nothing like some real fresh food. And that seems to be an importance of Yom Tov. So that clearly is one of the key differences. In fact, the Mishnah in Megillah says, Ein bein Shabbos Yom Tov, ela ochel nefesh b'vad. The only difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov is the preparation of food. In terms of joy, so the rush in Rosh Hashanah, the rush is Rabbeinu Asher, like my son's name, Asher. His name was Asher as well. And he was a German rabbi. He had moved to Spain out of necessity. And he says the following about the early Ashkenazic rabbis. He said, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda Hinig Bebagenza, in Mainz, one of the cities in Germany, an early rabbi, teacher of Rashi, he instituted in Mainz to save Hasienu Rosh Hashanah of Yom Kippur. Prayer of Hasienu, we'll see later, that you should give us Birkas Moedecha. God should bless us with the blessing of the holiday. Here it is right here. Simcha L'Sasam, for joy, and you should help us rejoice, and God should give us with Simcha and Sasam, with great joy, the holidays. So he thinks that even on Rosh Hashanah, you should say this prayer that asks God to give us the blessing of Moadecha, of a holiday. Chayin B'Shem Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, in the name of another great German rabbi, Chayin Rabbi Meshulam, Shal S.P. Rosh Yeshiva B'Shushalayim, they asked the Jerusalem rabbis, V'Yeshivu Sh'omrim Asiyinu Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. In Jerusalem, they said the blessing of God should give us a holiday blessing, that he should help us rejoice. And they said that blessing in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So should we wish people a good Yom Tov, a Chag Sameach on Rosh Hashanah? According to this, for sure. If you write Yerusham, it brings some sort of proof from the Jerusalem Talmud. However, there's another the teacher of Rashi. He said in Gemaiza, in Worms, he made the institution, Shalolomer, not to say that. You can't call it a moed. You know the word cholamoed? That means the weekday of the holiday. So the Birkas Moadim, to say that God should give us a blessing of the Moadim, of the holidays, that only applies on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Because there's an idea that on Sukkot, on Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, we go to the temple and we'll be blessed, Kibirkas Hashem Elokecha, like the blessing of God. So we see there's a special blessing that God gives us on a holiday. But on Rosh Hashanah, to say that God should give us a blessing of the holiday, what blessing of the holiday? It doesn't say in the Torah that you get a special blessing for Rosh Hashanah. You get a blessing for Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Chen Kazer Baal Shal Tiel, one of the early Gaonim, early rabbis, De Birkas Moedecha, De Korban Chagiga. When we say in the holiday prayers, God should give us the blessing of the Moed of the holiday, that refers to the sacrifices of the holiday. So here we get to a different point. That you know what makes a holiday? The sacrifice of a holiday. They would bring a Korban Chagiga. They'd bring some meat so they could enjoy it. They would bring a Korban Re'iyah, a Korban, a sacrifice, because they came to Jerusalem to see God. But they bring shlamim, they bring things they could eat to Jerusalem. So that's what it's all about. On Rosh Hashanah, you don't have to come to Jerusalem. You don't have to bring special sacrifices. So there's a debate about Rosh Hashanah. To what extent is Rosh Hashanah yontif? Is it a day of joy, of rejoicing? And is it called a moed? Now we know if you look in Leviticus 23, they have the list of all the holidays. When it lists the holidays, it does say that here are the holidays, and then it lists Pesach, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. So it lists Yom Kippur and Rosh Hashanah as part of the holidays. But can we say that it's a day for rejoicing? That's a different question. Then we turn to the laws of mourning. We all know that if someone has Shiva, God forbid, during a holiday, or if a holiday bumps into a yeshiva, what happens to yeshiva? Kaput goes away, right? There's no shiva. So what about Shabbos? Well, shiva doesn't go away, but we all know you don't sit shiva on Shabbos. What about Shavuos? How many days do you get off for Shavuos? You get 7 days off? It's only 1 day holiday, 2 days. What about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? Rosh Hashanah should stop the mourning? What, you're not allowed to be sad on Yom Kippur? I don't understand. So there's a debate in the Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar Omer, Rabbi Elazar says, Mishachar Beis HaMikdash, once the temple is destroyed and Shavuos is just 1 day, You don't have to bring sacrifices for 7 days, as they used to do in the old days. You see, when there's a holiday, yeah, everyone has to bring a sacrifice. Shavuos is only one day. How can all of Israel bring sacrifice on Shavuos? So they said, no, you can make it up for 6 more days. So it was a 7-day holiday. So we can understand that if a person is trying to sit Shiva and then come Shavuos, he loses 7 days. But nowadays, it's like Shabbos. You just take off for a day and then you continue the Shiva. Rav Gamliel says, now that's a very strange position, because on Shavuos you have to be happy. Supposed to be happy. In mourning, you're supposed to be sad. You can't be sad and happy at the same time. So how could it be like Shabbos? Could say that he says that as long as you have the externals of Yontif, you're eating meat and wine, in your heart you're conflicted whether you're happy or sad. It doesn't make a difference. As long as you have the externals, it's good enough. And after all, you're not going to publicly mourn it. It's like Shabbos. If you won't publicly mourn, so in your heart you'll have a conflict. Don't worry about it. Rav Gamliel said, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, no. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur are just like a holiday. That Rosh Hashanah is like Pesach. If you, the Shiva, God forbid, the death, God forbid, bumps into a Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the whole Shiva is canceled. Why? Apparently, there is joy on Rosh Hashanah, and you can't tell someone, be happy and sad at the same time. Okay, I want you to be happy, also be sad. You can't do that. You have to make up your mind. So we say, look, the community is happy. Individually, you're supposed to be sad. The communal joy overrides your personal sadness. Get rid of it. We don't want to have people running around crying on Rosh Hashanah. You should be happy. So he's saying that Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are like sort of like Pesach and Sukkot. They're yantivs. The Chachamim Omrim, Lo K'dibrizev L'Ruizet. Some of the majority opinion was, but not necessarily the way we say today. Atzeres Gurgol. Look, Shavuos is Shavuos. Shavuos is one of the three holidays. Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot, the pilgrimage holidays. Regolim, forget about it. That cancels the mourning. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, it's like Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's true that you have external things like having meat and even wine on Rosh Hashanah, let's say. And it's true that Yom Kippur, maybe you should rejoice. Maybe. The Rosh said that you should say the prayers for a holiday on Yom Kippur. But it's not a contradiction. It can be like Shabbos. You know, Shabbos, you act like it's a nice day, you have beautiful clothes on Yom Kippur, but the mourning can continue afterwards. So this question as to whether Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur qualify as a holiday and whether they should have elements of joy is a debate in the early days in Ashkenaz, in early Germany, around the year 1100, around the Crusaders. And it's also a debate all the way back in the Mishnah as to what the status of it. And then we might even ask about Shavuos, maybe because Shavuos doesn't have any rituals today, maybe that takes away from some of the simcha. I don't know. I didn't see that in writing. Maybe. Let's compare the prayers on Shabbos and the prayers on Yom Tov. Now, I have to give credit where credit is due. Rabbi Aaron Lichtenstein of Blessed Memory, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, a great teacher at Yeshivat Har Tzion in Israel, where I studied under him a little bit, he has two wonderful books that came out posthumously by his children, and one is called Kedushas Aviv, and one is called Minchas Aviv. And in both, he has articles about the nature of Yontif. And everything I'm saying today is really borrowed from him. So he says, let's compare the Shabbos prayers and the Yontif prayers. On Shabbos, I'm sorry, I don't have the English here, but you can look at a few words that you can know. Yismechu, Simcha, joy, right? We do mention joy on Shabbos. But now, Ashkenazic Jews only mention it in Musaf. Sephardic Jews, like Anshei Sephard, our shul, we're not Sephardic congregation, we have to use a Nusach Sephard sitter, we do mention a Yismachu in all of our prayers. Yismachu. Rabbi Salvechik thought that the Ashkenazic view is correct, that only in the Beis HaMikdash, on Musaf, which reflects the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, there was joy, but not on the other part of Shabbos. But the Nusach Sephard is arguing there is Simcha on Yontif. In fact, there's a Medrash that says, on the day of every Shabbos, because it's a day of joy. So there's an idea that Shabbos is a day of joy. In which case, why can't you cook on Shabbos? Let's get into that. But if you look at the essence of the prayer, though, Rabbi Lichtenstein points out, we say Hanchilenu Hashem Elokeinu, and you should give us, God, that with love, Shabbos Kodshecha, v'yanuchu bo kaiso. You know what we should do on Shabbos? Rest on it. The essence of Shabbos is the word Shabbos, to cease and desist, to stop working. The essence of Shabbos is not to work. Doesn't say anything about joy. Now, the Nusach Sfarad says you should rejoice our souls. It's a little different. Shabbos, our soul rejoices. Okay. I think, again, the Nusach Sfarad is more of the opinion that Shabbos is, our shul sitter is more of the opinion that Shabbos is related to simcha, to joy. Ashkenazic sitter, classic German sitter, says no, there's no joy in Shabbos at all, maybe in Musa. But basically, if you ask, what does the prayer say? What are we supposed to do on this day? B'yanuchu bo. It's a day to rest. In fact, some people call it Yom HaManoach. It's a day of Menucha, rest. Yontif is different. We mentioned the prayer before that some say you should say it on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur too, which we do not. But on Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, we do say this prayer that God should lift up the blessing of the Moed. Moedecha, Moed, like the word Chol HaMoed, means holiday. For what? Chaim Tov V'Shalom, for a good life, and Simcha Nesasim. It should give us happiness and joy. And then we say, the things we say on Shabbos as well, and Banchilenu, you should give us the Simcha V'Sason, Moedei Kodesh, Yismuchu V'Cha Yismuchu. God should give us Simcha, joy, and Sason, another type of joy, on the holidays of your holiness, holy holiday, and V'Yismuchu V'Cha Yisrael, and the Jews should rejoice with you, those who sanctify your name. So it's all about rejoicing. So Yontif is about rejoicing. Shabbos is about Menucha. It's about rest. So while we may celebrate them in similar ways, they're there for a totally different purpose. Shabbos is about rest. It's about those prohibitions. Don't work. Don't do that. The whole definition of Shabbos are the things you can't do. When we say you can't do 39 things on Shabbos, that's the definition of it. It's all about stoppage. Stopping. Shalishbot means to stop. God stopped on the seventh day. We have to stop what we're doing in 39 particular ways with all their auxiliary laws. That's what the essence of it is. On Yontif, that just helps me rejoice, right? If I'm on my iPhone and my Facebook and this, I can't rejoice. I have to focus. I'm not watching the movies. I need that rest. A woman is weaving all day. She needs to stop it so she can rejoice. So Shabbos and Yontif are both prohibited. In both cases, you're not allowed to weave. But on Shabbos, it's because you want to rest. And on Yontif, it's because you have to rejoice. And it's a way toward rejoicing. Or, as Rav Lichtenstein put it, maybe it's a way of fulfilling Mikra Kodesh. It's a holy convocation. How does it become a holy convocation? You got to tell everyone to put away their phones. Otherwise, it's not a holy convocation. Okay. Then there's another way in which Shabbos and Yontif are different. And Rabbi Lichtenstein really hones in on a very, very important point. On Shabbos morning, we say something which I think is like a national anthem. It's nice that in our shul, we sing the Shlomo Karlbach tune, and everybody knows it, and it's something we all enjoy saying. Right? We say, that's not the niggun. How does it go? Whatever it is, we have a niggun that we sing for Shamru. Other schools have other niggins, but it's a beautiful song because it says, and the Jewish people shall keep the Sabbath. It's like the Torah says, you will. The Israelite people will keep the Sabbath. That's our mantra. That's our motto. That's our oath of allegiance. La'sozeh Shabbos, to make Shabbos dorosan for all generations. Brit Olam, an eternal covenant. Shabbos is a bris. Shabbos is part of our bris. If you ask yourself, somebody, let's say, didn't keep Yontif, it's a terrible thing. Yontif is a mitzvah in the Torah. It's a terrible not to keep any mitzvah. But I wouldn't say, you don't say, oh, he's a machal Yontif. He's one who violates Yontif. People don't say that. They do say, see that guy? He's machal Shabbos. He violates Shabbos. Now again, we shouldn't go around talking about other people. But there is such an expression, violation of, he defiles Shabbos. Why do we have this expression about Shabbos alone, that a violation of it is a defilement? What about Yontif? Why don't we say we defile Yontif? Because, says Rabbi Lichtenstein, it's a bris. Shabbos is a covenant. And it's a specific covenant. It's not that different from the bris that a boy has. Has a bris, has a covenant. failure to have a bris, you're still Jewish, but you know, you're missing something very, very important as far as being Jewish. Shabbos is also this type of thing where without Shabbos, there's this huge gap in the bris, in the covenant. Now, again, those who are not able, haven't come in their lives to take on Shabbos 100%, at least if you're able to make kiddush, come to shul, you make some sort of special thing about Shabbos, maybe you're also keeping the covenant to some degree. I don't know if it's, you know, I'm thinking it's nothing's all or nothing, but in its ideal form, it has a cessation from all work and the positive elements as well. So it's an eternal covenant. So that's Shabbos. Let's go back to the sheet again. Shabbos is a covenant. It doesn't say that the Jewish people shall keep Pesach as a covenant for all generations. Now, we have to redefine that. It doesn't Pesach have something to do with the covenant? We'll have to get back to that.
So I had a question.
Yes.
Were you saying the final decision was to keep Shabbos with joy?
It's a debate. It remains a debate. There is an obscure source, the Sifrei, that says that the day of Yom Simchaschem, the day of your joy, it refers to Shabbos. So we see that Shabbos is a day of joy, but that's like a footnote. In general, it never says you should rejoice on Shabbos. The Rambam doesn't mention it. No one says it. And in some Siddurim, it says it. It's true that you might argue that if you daven with a Nusach Sfarad Siddur, or if you're Sephardic, you might argue that your Siddur thinks there's some kind of joy on Shabbos. Maybe it's only in the prayers, but still, the essence of it is for resting, not for joy. But there may be an element of joy on Shabbos as well.
Yeah. What about Rashi? What does he say?
Rashi, we're going to get to Rashi later about some other elements. Rashi on Simcha, I don't know. Okay. Rashi, it has to be a particular pasuk, a verse, or a line in the Talmud. So this is a more, a topic that's not exactly in one particular line. But yeah, it might be a Rashi, I have to think about it. Moving along. Maybe we'll come up in the later part of the presentation. Now, there's another time in that same section where it says, you know, Shabbat, a couple of verses before that, it says, at Shabbat, you shall keep my Shabbases in plural. So you say, Shabbases? There's only one Shabbos, right? Only one Israel, the only one Jewish people, and there's only one Shabbos. So what do you mean, my Shabbases you should keep? Shabbosos. Again, in Yiddish, we say Shabbosim, and in Hebrew, we say Shabbatot, plural for Shabbos. So what would he mean, plural? Is there more than one Shabbos? So Ibn Ezra, who's a little bit of a skeptic, he says, look, holidays are not Shabbos. Only Shabbos is Shabbos. Holidays can be Shabbaton. There's a word in Hebrew, Shabbaton, which you know from modern parlance. But a holiday is not a Shabbos. So my Shabbatot means all the Shabbos, every Shabbos, Shabbos this Shabbos, next Shabbos, last Shabbos, should keep all those Shabbos. There's an idea that the Shabbos connect to each other, even from one week to another. But Shabbos is Shabbos. It does not refer to Yom Tov. However, if you turn to the Orach Chaim, the mystic from Tzfat, he says, Shabbatotai, my plural Shabbos is, you see that word, Shabbatotai, Shabbat, Shabbatotai. It includes anything that's called Shabbos. Shabbos Bereishis, that's the regular Shabbos. Yom Kippur, or all the holidays, because they're forbidden in various things. They are cessations of work to some degree or another, to most degrees. They are cessations of work, so Shabbos, that includes all Shabbos. So Rabbi Lichtenstein thought that this is interesting in terms of how related are Shabbos and Yom Tov. Well, some people say they're all called Shabbos. There's no question that there's one time when it's referred to as Shabbos, we count the Omer from after Shabbos, and that means the first day of Pesach. So there, according to the rabbinic interpretation, Pesach is called Shabbos. But generally speaking, it's not called Shabbos. You mentioned Rashi. So here Rashi's not commenting on the question of Simcha, of joy, but Rashi in Shavuot. Right? Look and see kind of Rashi on the Talmud, where he says, look, you can't build the Beit HaMikdash, and you can't do anything on Shabbos. You can't even build a Beit HaMikdash. So, well, but it's a mitzvah. No, you can't do it. So why? Because you and the sanctuary itself are obligated in the honor of God that I commanded you about Shabbos. And what about Yom Tov? Maybe you could build the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Tov. So he says, Yomim Tovim, Nami Shabbos Osikru. Yom Tov is also Shabbos. Rashi believes that a Yom Tov is also Shabbos. So again, it doesn't answer Suzanne's question, is Shabbos a Yom Tov? Is Shabbos a day of joy? But Rashi does say that Yom Tov is a Shabbos. Yom Tov is subsumed under Shabbos. Okay. Now, although Rav Lichtenstein said that Shabbos is part of a covenant, he said, Dorotam Berit Olam, it's a covenant forever. Oh, I remember the Niggun. It's a brit, it's a covenant forever. So Rav Lichtenstein claimed that Shabbos is part of the covenant. That's part of the covenant. There is a special covenant just for Shabbos. If you understand, in other words, God makes many covenants with the Jews. There's a general covenant with Abraham, and then it was reaffirmed at Sinai, the Sinai the covenant, then it was reaffirmed Arvot Moab before they went from Moab into Israel. They made a covenant when they came to Israel with Joshua. They reaffirmed the covenant many times. The Christians think you make a new covenant every 5 minutes, and you throw one away and take another one. We believe that there are covenants that build on top of each other. So, again, there are different types of Christians. I don't want to think to one swath, but to say that Yom Tov is not part of the covenant, and of course, every mitzvah is part of the covenant. But the question is there a special covenant that's made with Yom Tov? We said there is one for Shabbos. Is there one for Yom Tov? Well, look at this. In Devarim 31, it says that every 7 years should come on Sukkot and read the Torah. So Sukkot is a time which we use to, I would say, renew the covenant, you know, to read the covenant again to the Jews. The book of Devarim in general is a covenantal book. At the end of the book, God says, okay, I'm going to make a covenant based on this book, based on all the laws here and elsewhere. I'm re-upping on this covenant. So in Devarim 31, there's an idea that every 7 years, you re-up the covenant on Sukkot. So Sukkot is used to re-up the covenant. So that's one thing. And then here's a verse from the end of, Shemot 31, where it says, Shalosh Mem Shana, 3 times a year you should come to God, and nothing will happen when you go away from your house. Don't worry about it. Nothing, no one will steal anything, and et cetera, et cetera. And Hashem says to Moshe, write these things down, because based on this, I made the brit with the Jews. So one of the last things that's said before God says, write this down because it's a covenant, one of the things is that he tells them about the three holidays, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. I mean, I can't even imagine. If you make a covenant with a people and you tell them, show up to my house 3 times a year, how is that not part of the covenant? Of course it's part of the covenant. But it isn't a special covenant about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. Pesach and Sukkot are a reflection of the holiday, of the covenant, 3 times a year. The king Josiah also, we need to bring him into the picture. Because, you know, if you know the story, he lost the Torah. Now, what does that mean? So usually we say it means he lost the what did he lose? He lost the Devarim, the book of Devarim, the book of Deuteronomy, which is a covenant. So then he tells the Jews, keep Pesach, like it says in this covenantal book. What do you mean covenantal book? The book of Devarim. The whole Torah is a covenant. So we'll keep the Pesach. He said there was never a Pesach like that from the days of the judges. What was so great about it? They wiped out all the idols. They wiped out all the holidays in the days of King Josiah. What does that mean? The idols are against the covenant. So in order to reaffirm the covenant, he made a Pesach where he affirmed the covenant. There's no question that when a Jew takes the Korban Pesach, he or she is saying, I am part of the covenant. That's why we have a do-over for the Paschal lamb and not for any other sacrifice, sort of, because we have a makeup holiday a month after Pesach, because everybody wants into the Korban Pesach because it's an element of the covenant. So what do you mean that Shabbos is a covenant? So again, I would say Sukkos can express the covenant. Sukkos is something that someone who's in the covenant has to show up for, but there's not a special covenant about Sukkos, about Pesach. Bris is different. Now, Pesach might be different than the other holidays because the blood of the Paschal Lamb is part of how we became Jewish. Pesach might be more connected to the bris, the blood. It could be. But, and that's why there's excision for those who don't participate in the Pesach. But certainly the holiday of Chag HaMatzos, the seven-day holiday, Shavuos and Sukkos, they are an expression of the covenant, as is Tzitzis and Tefillin and everything else, but is not necessarily a special covenant about Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. But the fact that Josiah made Pesach could show that certainly Pesach, perhaps other holidays too, they're a way you express the covenant. Back to our sheet. Now, the night before the holiday is an interesting topic. What does that mean? The main thing of a holiday is to rejoice. The main way you rejoice is with meat. How do you get the meat? Well, you bring a sacrifice. When do you bring a sacrifice? Well, Pesach is unusual. You bring it before Pesach. The day before Pesach is also part of Pesach. It is Pesach. But on Shavuos and Sukkos, you can't bring the Sukkos offering before Sukkos. So the first night of Sukkos, what do you got? Nothing. So can you rejoice? So the Rashbam says, and we rejoice on the, when we have four cups of wine. If you don't do it the right way, you still get the mitzvah of simcha. Simcha, rejoicing. There's no meat. Then wine doesn't count. So the first night, it's part of the holiday. Even if it's not part of the official, there's no meat sacrifice that you have. Very often on the first night of Shavuos, first night of Sukkos, there's no meat offering that you have. But it's still part of the holiday. There's sort of the holiday. And then there's a special mitzvah of rejoicing with the meat of the holiday, the sacrificial meat. And that's only during the day. So we see that the night before, it's a time of simcha, says the Rashbam, but not exactly the simcha we all know and love, called meat and wine, which is specifically during the day, which has to do with the sacrificial meat. Also on Shabbos, you might argue that the Torah in Leviticus 23 also includes, in Parshat Emor, includes it as sort of part of the holidays, sort of kind of one of the holidays, but there's no mitzvah to rejoice, per se, according to most authorities, Suzanne. So what is Shabbos? It's a holiday minus the rejoicing part. Rosh Hashanah, also, maybe there isn't a formalized obligation to eat meat and wine on Rosh Hashanah like there is on the other holidays, but it's still a mitzvah of simcha anyway. There's sort of a simcha minus the official meat and wine. And certainly on Yom Kippur, for sure. And Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed also, it doesn't have the official rejoicing, is really, you know, maybe the first days or what, but there's some residual holiday that is left as well. And therefore, you can't fully mourn on these days. There's some sort of residual holiday. Then the question is, what's the nature? If we wanted to understand Yontif, right? So if it's Pesach or it's Sukkos, is it a different holiday? Is it a different bird? You know, we wish people could Yontif on Sukkos, could Yontif on Pesach, could Yontif on Shavuos. But is it a different bird? You say, well, sure, it's a different bird. Because one, there's a matzah, and one, there's a sukkah. Yeah, but you notice that the first night of Sukkos, we have to eat one piece of bread in the sukkah to remind us of its comparison to Pesach. The Mechilta, the Midrash on Shemot, suggests maybe you should have a sukkah on Pesach. Maybe you should have matzah at the sukkah. The Midrash rejects that point, but it suggests it. It thinks about it, because to some degree, maybe they are interchangeable. Maybe they're all part of remembering the Exodus, and whether it's remembering the giving of the Torah on Shavuos, or the wandering in the desert on Sukkos, or the clouds of glory, or whether the Exodus from Egypt, it's all part of the same thing, part of the Exodus. The Beis Yosef asked the question, hey, why don't we make a Sukkos during Pesach? Because it would be more obvious that you're making it for a holiday, because it's more natural to make a Sukkah during Pesach. So no, we wanted to do it at a time when it wasn't natural, during Sukkos, when everyone's putting away their backyard furniture, we're making a backyard a hut on Sukkos. But theoretically, we could have had Sukkos on Pesach. So to some degree, they're all kind of mixed up. To some degree, they're very much separate, because the essence of Pesach is matzah and lack of chametz. The essence of Sukkos is a sukkah. What about a lulav? Is a lulav part of the essence of Sukkos? So Rabbi Lichtenstein said, well, there were these Jews in Jerusalem that are mentioned in the Gemara in Sukkah. They used to walk around with their lulav all day. I don't know, walking all day with the lulav. Maybe they think the lulav is an essential part of Sukkot. But one might argue that no, the lulav is something you do on Sukkot, but it's not the essence of Sukkot. the reason the Jews in Jerusalem brought it around all day, because in Jerusalem, the lulav is very important, because in Jerusalem is part of the temple, and in the temple they brought the lulav, rejoice for 7 days. Is the matzah an essential part of Pesach? Well, if it was an essential part of Pesach, wouldn't you make a bracha on it every day of the 7 days? But we don't. We say hamotzi, but we don't say shekisham is David Sivano al achilas matzah. We don't make a bracha on the matzah on the third, fourth, fifth day of Pesach. So is matzah still an essential part of it? So he says as follows. There are mitzvahs that we do, and then there's the residual, which is part of the identity of the holiday. You have to blow the shofar a certain number of times. When you're done with that, if you continue to blow, you're not adding to the Torah, God forbid. If you blow extra blows, as we do really in shul, you blow 100 times, you're just showing that today is a day of blowing. That's the nature of the day. When you eat matzah for 7 days and you give yourself a stomach ache, you only get a mitzvah for the first two nights. But the rest of it, you're just trying to show that this is a holiday of matzah, and that's why you're eating it. You only have to sit in the sukkah the first 2 days, first two nights. But the rest of the sukkahs, we sit there, not because it's so much a mitzvah, I have to sit there. No, you don't have to. You could drink water the whole time. You could have a yogurt for 7 days. You don't need to sit in the sukkah. But the reason we do go there is to show the nature of the holiday. So certain mitzvahs, the sukkah, the matzah, and the shofar, the extra sitting in the sukkah and the extra blowing the shofar and the extra matzah we eat are not so much a fulfillment of the picayune particular mitzvah of the day, but rather a reflection of the whole day itself. Now, good. So we answered some of these questions before. Let's take a look at some of these questions. Let's see if we got it. Is ochel nefesh the permission to cook on Yontif? Is that because we want to rejoice? Well, then why do we do it on Rosh Hashanah? Why are we allowed to cook on Rosh Hashanah? Again, if you assuming you have an existing flame, if you leave your flame on, you can cook on Rosh Hashanah. You can fry an egg. Why? You can put something in the oven if you leave the oven on. Why on Rosh Hashanah? Apparently, on Rosh Hashanah there's also some sort of obligation to rejoice. And is there simcha on Yom Kippur? And that's a whole other discussion. I believe I have a webcast about that as well. Is there a Simcha Yom Kippur? But based on what we said today, yes, there's some element of Simcha, and maybe not the formalized one, but again, according to that rush that they used to say, call it a holiday, and we do wear good clothes. We have a meal before Yom Kippur that may reflect what we're really supposed to be doing on Yom Kippur. Had it not been a fast, I would be eating, so I eat on the Erev Yom Kippur to reflect the day of Yom Kippur. And it's certainly one of the days of great joy in our calendar, along with Tu B'Av, which we talked about last week. So there may be Simcha Yom Kippur as well. Now, based on this idea that Rabbi Lichtenstein outlined, that one of the big differences between Shabbos and Yontif is the idea of the covenant, therefore we can understand two expressions. We mentioned it before. Chilul Shabbos and a Mevazeh Hamaodos. If someone violates Shabbos, we call it a desecration of Shabbos. Someone doesn't keep Yontif, we say they're demeaning Yontif. Why don't we say they're violating Yontif? So Rashi says that you could violate Yontif also. There's a violation of something, but the Rabbi Lichtenstein wanted to follow the Mishnah itself, which specifically goes out of its way not to use the word chilul regarding Yontif. Regarding Yontif, we use the expression you are treating lightly the Yontif. When it comes to Shabbos, it's a violation. What's it a violation of? What's it a desecration of? We use the word desecration because it's a desecration of the bris of the covenant. So Shabbos is about covenant. Holidays are about something else. So I'd like to argue the following. Shabbos is a covenant. As we said, there's a special covenant God made. Keep Shabbos. That'll be the covenant between me and the Jewish people forever. That's why Shabbos is so important in terms of continuity, Lidorotam for all generations. To keep the Shabbos, it's a covenant. It keeps us together. But Yom Tov is an expression of the Brit. It affirms the Brit. Yom Tov, yes, I want to argue, Yom Tov is connected to the Brit. If you want to affirm the Brit, you get everyone together for Pesach like Yoshiyahu did. If you want to have a book that has all the covenant in it, as we did at Mount Sinai, as we did before Moshe died in the book of Devarim, you want to put the holidays right in there, and that's why it's in this week's Parsha, because it's at the center of the covenantal book, but it's only an expression of the covenant. It's not a covenant itself, right? There's no question that as we go through Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, we think about the Exodus, and we think about our link to God, and which is ultimately the covenantal link to God. But it's not about the Brit per se. That's not exactly what it is. So that's what I want to argue. That's the main difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov, is the question of rejoicing, the question of the nature of the prohibitions on Shabbos. It's all about the prohibitions. What's the lulav of Shabbos? You know what the lulav of Shabbos is? You know what the mitzvah of Shabbos is? Stop working. But on Yom Tov, we do stop working. But the main thing is the shofar, the sukkah, the matzah, and the main thing is to rejoice. And the prohibitions of work are just a way of helping you to rejoice. So Shabbos and Yom Tov, you know, they may seem very similar, and yet actually Shabbos and Yom Tov are very different. So we said that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur may indeed have an element of Yom Tov, and there's a debate about that. We said that the permission to eat gives us a clue about the idea that Yom Tov is primarily about eating, and it's about rejoicing. We said there's a debate about Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as to whether we should say the holiday prayers or not. We said there's a debate about whether the mourning practice should be totally stopped, like Pesach and Shavuos and Sukkot, for Shavuos, for Shabbos, especially for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And we do. We do stop the mourning for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. On the prayers on Shabbos, there's a debate about to what extent joy should be in there, but it says specifically that the main thing is to rest. And then we said that Shabbos and Yom Tov are different because Shabbos is all about covenant. Yom Tov might be in the word Shabbos, but some say it's not. And Rashi says it is, Or Chaim says it is, Ibn Ezra says it's not, etc. And we did say that often when God reiterates the covenant, he mentions Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot, because it's an expression of the covenant, but it is not a covenant itself. Every 7 years you go to reaffirm the covenant on Sukkot, which is one of the holidays. And at the end of the covenant at this Mount Sinai, he always mentioned the three pilgrimage festivals. And then after they did the golden calf, he mentioned it again because every time you re-up the covenant, you've got to talk about Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. They're an affirmation of the covenant. When Josiah wanted to reaffirm the covenant, he did Pesach. And then we said that there are some expressions of the holiday that don't have the explicit obligation of eating meat and wine, but they still partake a little bit in this holiday idea. Shabbos may have an element of that. Rosh Hashanah may have an element of that, etc. And then we said that each holiday may have its own character expressed by certain mitzvahs. But on the other hand, there's certain interchangeability of the holidays because they all kind of are one kedusha. They express one kind of idea of the Exodus. And finally, we said that because Shabbos is so connected with covenant, it's the idea of chilul, of desecration, is mentioned specifically regarding Shabbos. Whereas Yom Tov, it's more a matter of you should treat them nicely, shouldn't treat them poorly, but there's no desecration because it's not about covenant per se, even though they do express the covenant as well. So Shabbos makes the Brit, and Yom Tov is an expression of the Brit, affirms the Brit, but it's not itself a Brit. So these are some thoughts on the nature of Yom Tov and the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov. And I hope it begins to clarify, or maybe at least maybe it muddies the waters and makes you sort of wonder about what the difference really is, or if it's all sort of the same, or what is the difference between Shabbos? Suzanne likes the idea of rejoicing on Shabbos. So then, you know, how exactly are Shabbos and Yom Tov different? I would argue that even if there is a mitzvah to rejoice on Shabbos, it's still auxiliary to Shabbos. The main thing in Shabbos is still the idea of rest. So that's our class for today. We thank you for joining us.